This MusicAndSports.net spotlight is brought to you by Building Bridges and U.S. Bank. Member FDIC, Rick Tittle with you, along with my co-host Karen Lyle again. And we're going to hear from Bernie Williams, five-time All-Star, great player, played his whole career with the Yankees, four times World Series champ, four gold gloves as well. But it's not just baseball when it comes to Bernie. He has another passion as well.
He is a musician, and he won a Latin Grammy. He's produced several albums, including one called Moving Forward.
Both disciplines require a special mentality of being extremely goal-oriented and very focused in what you're trying to get accomplished. I think that in my career, it really helped me to have this mentality or have no distractions. You're going to have the distractions, but not let the distractions take you away from your ultimate goal, which is being the best. In this case, being the best baseball player or being the best musician that you can be. You're always going to find yourself, I always found myself in the middle, somewhere in the middle between, not being the worst guitar player or baseball player ever, but at the same time, I wouldn't consider myself to be the greatest of all time. So you're trying to find, that sort of happy medium, in the way that you're happy with what you're doing, but in the same time, you're always looking forward to being better and better, every day.
So, Karen, it's interesting because as much as you need training for baseball and to get that muscle memory down and to get everything honed just right, so much goes into being a good musician as well with the training.
Bernie was influenced by his father, and he really understands the importance of training both in sports and music.
You develop your skills as you practice, on a daily basis, and you create this muscle memory. And things sort of become second nature to you. When you hit the ball, you don't think about hitting. You don't think about your shoulders. You don't think about your eyes or your head. You just see the ball and hit it. But because the fact that you have practiced so many times, how to hit the ball and the swing, and you make it almost perfect in your head and in your mind and in your body. So it's, I think that's the only way that I can explain, I guess the similarities between the work ethic between one discipline and the other.
All right. Once again, Rick Tittle and Karen Lowell with you here on the MusicAndSports.net Spotlight. Special thanks to Bernie Williams. And we also want to give our special thanks to Jesse Castro, U.S. Bank branch manager from Danville, California. Jesse supports music in our communities and is a member of Rotary International, who is winning the fight to end polio. Once again, Rick Tittle with This Music and Sports.net Spotlight. All right, that seemed like it was live. We are back live with Karen Lyle, and it's 40 after here, 9:40 Pacific time on a Tuesday, and this is when we talk salesporttalk.com, the website. And as always, it's great to bring Karen in. How you doing, Karen? No, Karen? There you are, Karen. Go ahead. Now I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, well, it's good that you can hear me because, I don't know, here I am. Music and Sports Spotlight, remember when we did that in 2015? Do you realize it's been, almost 8 years?
I didn't want to say how old was that.
It was the first one we did. It was the first one we did before there was a Salesport talk, which happened in 2019. Anyway, here we are dancing on the air and talking about sailing.
Yes. Now, help me out with this one, because I know you want to talk about the 37th America's Cup Barcelona. So that's, what is that? Is that the that's not the America's Cup, because that will
happen. Yeah, that is the America's Cup. Right.
Well, why would it be in Barcelona and not in New Zealand?
Because that's where it was decided. I mean, these things get decided by the challenger and defender having a negotiation. When usually what happens is at the end of the America's Cup that was in New Zealand, then there was a challenge from the Ineos team, and which was from Britain, and it was kind of something that they'd already kind of talked about a little bit ahead of time, so it was known that this was going to happen, And it was decided, so the defender is the one who decides where it's going to go, and it was decided to be in Barcelona. And so that's what, you know, the weather's great there. Maybe New Zealand has decided that they had, you know, they had their fill of it during the pandemic when we had all the lockdowns, and it was time for another venue. So the Mediterranean is a wonderful place to do it.
So the when is this going to go down then? When is it going to happen?
It'll be in October of 2024.
Okay.
But, of course, there's all kinds of things happening right now that are leading up to the America's Cup final races. I mean, the races that we call the America's Cup. And so there's basically two boats on the water. There's an AC-40 and an AC-75. And now they've introduced youth and women's America's Cup, which is the first time that's ever happening. And as the teams that are training and have a youth and women's challengers, you know, in that new division of America's Cup for youth and women, you actually see the skippers of one working with the up-and-coming skippers of another. So it's a great development of, you know, bringing new people into the sport.
So I'm not very bright, as you know. So New Zealand wins, and then someone in Spain says, I challenge you, and then they say, okay, let's just not hold the America's Cup down here. Doesn't that rob New Zealand of not just the home water advantage, but all the revenue that would be going into New Zealand by having it in Barcelona instead?
Well, America's Cup is a little different than, say, CLGP, which we've been talking about too here on Sailsport Talk, in that it's not a nation game, it is a yacht club game. So the difference between CLGP and America's Cup, CLGP being the new race of the foiling boats and America's Cup being the oldest race, is that the America's Cup has to be associated with a yacht club. And then it's also, the terms are negotiated differently for every one of the America's Cup. So this one that's coming up is the 37th America's Cup. And what that, you know, basically, every time you have to look and say, what are the rules? Because they negotiate, the challenger and the defender negotiate those rules. So the yacht club gets to decide. It's not the country.
So, but isn't New Zealand outraged that they're not having it in their home waters?
Well, you know, it has become an international sport for sure. And that is something we definitely should bring on a few New Zealanders to talk about that particular question, which is a most excellent question.
Yes. All right. So I've been to Barcelona. I would imagine you have too. You're a world traveler, and I was just thinking about, you know, off the coast there in the Mediterranean, you have the Balearic Islands there, Menorca, and Mallorca. What kind of waters are we talking about there?
Well, actually, right now the Swiss team, the Allegheny Red Bull Racing team, is testing their AC-75 out of Barcelona, and I'm just looking at the the reports from the recon team that's monitoring what each of the teams are doing, and I guess the winds were somewhere around 10 to 15. They were having a little bit of difficulty getting enough wind, so they kind of take a motorboat that pulls the foiling boat ahead until the wind catches up, you know, when they don't have wind and they're trying to test out the systems and so forth. When I was in Barcelona, so I think there you have sometimes you have wind and sometimes you don't. So it's just like I think the San Francisco Bay Area is more consistent for having, you know, a steady amount of wind during the summer. With Barcelona, you're going to have to look at, you know, what exactly is happening that particular day. They need usually at least about 15 knots to really be able to come out of the water and go those higher speeds, which are right now ranging around 38 to 42 knots.
So for you, is this good news? Do you think that the America's Cup is going to be more accessible for you than having to go down under?
Well, I'm actually going to be going out to London, Paris, and Barcelona in March. So I'm going to go check. Yeah, I'm going to go check it out. I'll probably call in for some of the shows from there, which I did in 2019. I was staying on a boat in Barcelona in the very harbor where they're going to do the America's Cup. So when they said that's going to be the place, I went, oh, wow, I was just there. That's going to be a great place to do it from. We've got five teams now that are all getting prepared, and everyone's kind of at a different stage. We have the, you know, we can call them by nations because they are representing different nations, even though the yacht clubs are the leaders in a lot of the ways in which things are done. We have the Italians, the French, the Americans. New York Yacht Club American Magic is going to be competing, and the Swiss and the British. And the British were the challengers of the New Zealanders.
All right. We're speaking with Karen Lyle, by the way, SailSportTalk.com. I saw in the email you sent me that the America's Cup will be in Barcelona in 2040. So that's going to be, how would they know that? Is that wrong?
You know, I can really count on you to always pick out the typos, because there's been a few, but I think I've only had about five in the last 202
so that's,
shows.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know. I thought that it was sort of like the Super Bowl where they would, but so that the 2040, that's not right.
It was 2024.
2044.
Next year.
Okay.
Next year.
Well, what time of the year does it take place?
It's going to be in October. So September, October are the final races, the races that we look for. But there are things that are leading up to that. And right now, because this is so much of a race that's about design of the boats, because, you know, half of the mystery and the reveal is what methods that people are using, or the different teams are using, to be able to achieve the highest boat speed within what they call the box rule, which is the rules that were established by the defender and challenger. And they're using the same type of boat that they used, which is an AC-75. It's a monohull that has foils and comes out of the water, that they used in the AC-36, which is the race that we had in New Zealand the last time. And so that will be a little less expensive for the design teams, and they were kind of thinking about that because it was such a challenge to get up all the money to put together a team, and they wanted to make it more accessible. But, you know, it's not accessible for you and me, Rick. I mean, we could never put together an America's Cup team.
Well, we know that...
We'd have a toy boat on the water, right?
No doubt. Well, the other thing is, too, it's like anything in sports. There are copycat leagues, and so someone will see a new hull, a new keel, a new sail. And so what did we learn last time that the Italians, the Americans, everyone else, the Australians, are going to try and copy this time around?
Well, the designs are oftentimes very, very subtle for people who are really into sailing to know the differences between them. But there's some really obvious things that we can think of that anyone who's not even a sailor would be able to remember from the last America's Cup. As you remember when the American Magic tipped over on its side,
yeah,
and one of the panels came off, right? And it almost capsized. Which,
as an American, I was humiliated and I wanted their citizenship stripped. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, it was very, frustrating because of course they had to get and repair the boat. But one of the things they did not take into consideration in the design is what happens if your boat tips over on the side, and they didn't have the strength of that hull because they're trying to go for the lightness and the speed. So, you know, oftentimes these, I think probably the advantage of being able to continue with a particular boat design that you've done in a previous America's Cup for the teams is that they have all that testing time. I mean, for example, the New York Yacht Club's American Magic team took the boat Patriot, which was their boat, their AC-75 from before, and they just retired, decommissioned it in Pensacola just recently. And they were talking about how it was Paul Goodison, as the skipper, and Riley Gibbs, who we've interviewed here on the show, we were talking about what it is that happened, during their time of testing and all the time on the water that will lead to the design decisions that they're going to make for the one AC-75. And that's the difference, too, between the two. The last America's Cup we had in this one is that they were making more than one design, so they made more than one boat. And that was very expensive for the teams. So in this particular America's Cup, the Challenger and Defender negotiated and agreed that it would only be one boat that would be designed, which kind of cuts down the cost. But also, they have to learn whatever they learned from the last races. And some of these teams coming in were not racing in the last America's Cup. So they're having to learn by looking at the performance of the other people's boats on the water.
We just have about a minute. Do you sort of think that the America's Cup has passed us by since we were so lame in the last America's Cup? Or do you think that with our ingenuity and the fact that we basically usually own that trophy, that we're going to bounce back big time next year?
Well, I'm gonna say that the New York Yacht Club American Magic team is really dedicated to giving that trophy back. I mean, after having it for 125 years and then losing it, that is the number one top priority of not only the New York Yacht Club, but all American teams that are rooting for the American team. And we definitely want it back, and we want to keep it for another 125 years.
There she is, Karen Lyle. Find out more at sailsporttalk.com. Karen, always great having you on. Thanks for coming.
Well, it's good talking to you, co-host Rick.